Good morning, church. Well, you have to help me here. It's not my usual position on Sundays. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for another opportunity to share with you. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness. Thank you for your unending love. We pray that in this service, you will speak to our hearts. Amen. This morning, I'll be sharing with us about Moses and the burning bush. And most of the time, as a person, I just feel I'm never good enough. I remember about 20 years ago, I was in the university back in Nigeria, and we're having this prayer meeting. And after the meeting, one of our lecturers came and said, I want someone to pray with me. I have this difficulty and that difficulty and that difficulty. And I had said, oh, wow, we got a pastor, we got leaders, we got everyone in the church. Well, they'll just pray for her and that's it. And she says, I would like you to come and pray with me. And I looked behind me. There was no one standing there. And then I just moved this way. And he said, no, you. And then I moved another step. And she just kept, and she said, I want you to come and pray with me. And I said in my heart, what's wrong with this woman? If you have difficulty, I can't help. I'm just a student. I just want to come here and learn to pray. But that wasn't what she was saying. So is the story of Moses. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 3, there's something that God said in the 7th verse. He said, I have seen, verse 7, I have seen my people suffer in Egypt. I have seen them cry. I have seen them beaten up. And they have cried to me, and I have heard their cry, and I want to send a helper. And we just assumed that God was going to send somebody great. Maybe send Elijah in his full flesh with chariots, with gunmen to come and deliver Israel from Egypt. But God says, no, this is greater than all the chariots of Israel. This is Moses. Moses is the greatest that I have got in my kingdom, and I'm sending him down. And 9 months later, a child was born. And everyone in Israel would have looked at this child and says, oh, God, stop this joke. We are talking about soldiers, the strongest soldiers of their time against us. We don't have anything, and you're sending us a child. But that wasn't the major problem with Moses. Moses was not just born at the wrong time. He assumed he was also born to the wrong family. Wait until you hear my story. In my family, I've got 14 siblings. That's a huge family. And I'm the 6th child in that family. And imagine Moses being just the 3rd child. And then the whole nation was waiting upon him. And he just kept on going and going. And he was in Pharaoh's house, and all the sweet things were happening to him. But there was something unique about Moses. He knew he was not good enough. And that's something that is common amongst us. We know that we are not good enough. How can God want to use me? How can God want to speak with me? How can God want to use me to try and make me? I'm unmakeable. I'm useless. What Moses said to God was this. He said, listen, God, I am a nobody. My father is a slave. My mother is a slave. I'm a born slave. I have got no rights in this land. He got everything wrong from the beginning. The second thing he said, even if I decide to go to them, what am I going to say? I've got a medical condition. I can't speak. He got all the complaints that we will have today. I don't feel sick. I just feel down. I don't have everything that it takes. I don't have the education. I don't have the intelligence. I don't have the charisma. I don't have the stature. I'm just a small boy. The next thing he said, how about if no one believes me? That's a very common one. The first thing somebody said to me many years ago, he said, we need to go do some leafleting. And I looked, Lagos is quite a big city. It's got about 20 million people. And 60% of people in Lagos are very angry. I'm really angry because they're very hungry. So you're going to stand at the train station or the bus stop and give flyers to very hungry people. It's not a good idea. But that was the starting point. And I said to the pastor, I said, listen, how about if they don't take the flyer? How about if they say, get out of here? Or if they say something rude to me, what am I going to do? He said, you do exactly what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He said nothing. And sometimes we ask ourselves, he says, how about if you just send somebody who is more capable? This is a very difficult job. Why don't you send somebody else beside me? In January, when Nick said to me, he said, we're having a service in August, and I'd like you to speak in one of the services. I said, me? He said, yeah. I said, no, send somebody else. It's easy. The next person can do it better. But there is something about Moses, and there is something about you. You are God's best. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Listen, I have been in a position where I looked at myself. I said, no, I just can't do this. It's impossible. But what God is saying, he said, do it with me. If you got God on your side, you're on the winning side. It doesn't matter how unprepared you look. It doesn't matter how unfit you sound. But if you got God on your side, you're on the right side. And I just wrote this out. I'm just going to read. And this is very important. God is always at work, even when you can't see things clearly. Moses was told, you are the helper of Israel. And everyone didn't believe him. Well, I wouldn't believe him if I was there. He didn't have any armies. If you understand the people that he was coming to face, you will know that he was not a match. He didn't have any armies. He wasn't trained to fight. He only got little ships that he was moving around in the wilderness. But when it was God's time, he decided to teach Moses what he couldn't learn for 40 years in one day. In chapter 3, I think the 10th verse, the Bible says he spoke to Moses. How many of us would like God to speak to us today? He spoke to Moses. He spoke to Moses because he understood that Moses was now ready. He was ready because he knew he was inadequate for the job. And those are the kind of people that God takes interest in. In the book of Psalms, the Bible says that it pleases God to go to the dunghill and raise men who are of lowly character and lift them up to the hills. God doesn't want you if you're already built up because you're already made. He wants to pick up somebody who the world says, no, this cannot do it. We need to change somebody else. We need somebody better. Then you know that you're ready for God. Jesus displayed this when he went to the synagogue. He saw two men praying. One of them said, listen, Jesus, I have a Pharisee by birth. That means I fast every 2 days, Tuesdays and Thursdays. I do all the things that you have instructed. I pay my tithes. I do everything. And there was a man by the corner who says, oh, Jesus, please help me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus says, the man who acknowledged that he's insufficient for the work, he's the man that is due for the work. And so was Moses, right there sitting down, and he saw the fire. Let me say something. When God was going to speak to Moses, he chose something that was dear to Moses' heart. Moses was a shepherd, so he spoke through the grass. He chose an object that will attract the attention of Moses. So when he saw the fire, he was very upset because the sheep will eat the grass. And now all that they had appeared to be destroyed. So he got his attention. And when God has located his heart, he called his name. I don't know how will I felt if God has just called me from a burning bush. Well, if you say to me where I work that I saw God in the flame of fire, I'll probably carry an assessment. See, there's something wrong with this man now. But this was Moses sitting there doing his own business. And God said, it is time for me to use you. It is time for me to change you. Let me close with this. Moses listened to God call him twice. God said, Moses. He wasn't sure. Is there somebody else by the name Moses here? So he didn't respond. And God called him again. The psalmist say, once has the Lord spoken, twice have I heard him. Until you begin to hear God the second time, you are not fully ready. But what makes you ready? The fact that you understand that you are not good enough. A few months ago, we were talking about leafletting, and I heard somebody says, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. And the Spirit of the Lord was saying to my heart, that is my servant. That is the one I am going to use. Because the minute you look at yourself and you say, no, except God does this, it will remain undone. It's done already. Let's look inward to our hearts. Let's look to our spirit. How difficult it is to stand on the street and say, Jesus is my Savior. Come and be saved. How difficult is it to go to your brother who know you 20 years back? Who knows that I go to nightclub, every nightclub in Lagos, and dance every night. And then the next day you come and says, I'm born again. Now I'm not doing this no more. I'm not doing that no more. Come and go with me to this Savior. The same way they looked at Moses. You're one of us. Where did you come from? The slave boy said to Moses, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? We are the same thing. We are all alike sinners. Yes, but I've got a Savior. His name is Jesus. The Bible says, even if your skin be as red as scarlet, if you're connected with Jesus, then it will become as white as snow. If you're rejected by men, if you're called of God, then you are accepted by men. So they came the way they were. Moses was the way he was. He didn't need to do anything. Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, go get prepared and come. He said, come the way you are. What God needs is not a ready-made man. It's a man that he can turn around. Many years ago, my mom told me a story of how she became a police officer. She said when she got there, she wasn't tall enough. And everyone said, you wouldn't get a chance to join the police force because you need to be at least 5'3". She was less than that. So she stood among the people and they were going, you out, you out, you out. They were about 10 yards away from her. She just took herself out. And the officer said, what are you doing there? He said, oh, well, you're taking this one out there. She's not tall enough. I'm even smaller than her. And the officer said, get back in. She was hoping to go home. But the man said, I think you have a good heart. You are a very honest woman. So stay in. The police needs you. God needs you if you're honest about your situation. It's not a disadvantage to God. You may not fit what everyone calls the person of God. You may not fit the person they call, the one through whom God will do great things. It doesn't matter. Just hold on to Jesus. Let us pray. I just want us to look into our hearts. And we can give many reasons why we are not worthy. We can give many reasons why we shouldn't be the one that God will use. We can give excuses upon excuses. But look right there in your heart and says, God, please, I know you can use me. I know you can touch me. I know I can carry this message, but I am not worthy. But please, use me. Use me. Use me. In that little way, to speak to my sister, use me, Jesus. To speak to my next door neighbor, use me. Israel was under bondage. They were stressed. They were beaten up. And they were looking to God for a savior. And Moses was God's best. And from Moses' own confession, you will see that he was a nobody. He has no understanding. Nobody will believe him. That was clear. He was a poor speaker. And he just begged God to send somebody else because he didn't want to fail. But he was best. It was the best of God's choice. That was all that he needed. To be the best of God. Say, God, please make me your best. Make me your best. Everybody may not recognize me. They may not even appreciate me. They may not even value me. But because you are the one who picks a man from the lowest point and exalts him, will you please lift me up today? Strengthen my heart. Strengthen my heart. strengthen my heart. Please, Jesus, strengthen my heart. Please, Lord, make me that person that you want me to be. Make me that person you want me to be. Make me that person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Musicians, would you like to just come back?
We went to Soul Survivor this week, and one thing that really impacted me was in one of the seminars, which is sort of like groups. You go off in groups as well as having the main meetings, and you have speakers that come and speak on like half an hour about a specific subject. And one thing that really spoke to me was that when someone was saying, they put a name drop Jesus in your conversation. So when you're talking to someone, just even mentioning the name of Jesus in your conversation, or just, you know, saying, like when you go back to work or go wherever you go, like just say, oh, I had a nice weekend. So instead say, oh, I went to church. Jesus, I had a real encounter with Jesus. Or it's hard, but it's something it's like you're opening a door, and then that gives them the opportunity to then ask back rather than close the door or go too much in their face. So yeah, for that. Roger.
Yeah, I think, yeah, definitely. Another thing, in the main meetings, yeah, I think I really learned that God wants to meet with us like all really powerfully, and it was really cool because in every meeting God met in a different way. So sometimes it was really gentle and just you could just feel his peace. In other meetings it was everyone was just worshiping Jesus, and you could feel so excitement in you. And towards the end we did evening where we did praying for each other and for healing. And so it was amazing things. So people in wheelchairs for like 5 years were getting up and like running up to the front and say, oh, I've been healed. And then and it's really cool. They prayed for David's knee, and you said you felt it like click so much less because you're quite painful. Yeah. And someone prayed for my shoulder. It was like really sore and cracking. But it's quite funny because my friends are praying for it. But instead of that getting healed, my neck got completely healed, which was, it used to crack quite a lot. I used to be really sore. Like I couldn't do push-ups or things, but it's completely better now. So I thought it was really learned that God really wants to have a personal and not a private relationship, but like, something, you know, it's for everyone, not just for us. And yeah, so it was really cool. We recommend it.
So I just basically wanted to share around my housing situation, just really a testament to how God always has a plan and that he always makes a way. So when I moved to London, that was a testimony in itself to get the house in the first place. So I lived in this house. It was great. You know, it just had so many benefits, so many things that God had worked out. Then from around March time, I started to have some issues in the house. So we were in a sublet. There were things with landlords. It got very complicated. And eventually I had to move. So obviously, you know, working in London full time, it's quite hard to find somewhere to live. Obviously trying to find somewhere new. I wanted to stay in North London, but there wasn't much inventory. And it just sort of felt like, you know, I'm going to be out on the streets. Or I do have family, but it was a very stressful time. And then literally I got a call from Vanessa one day. She said, oh, there's a room in my house, you know, something's come up. And eventually I've ended up taking that house, and it's been amazing just because the house itself is great and there's just so many benefits. But I just really wanted to share that even in the midst of when you're in a situation where you can't see how it's going to work out. But that phone call literally came out of nowhere, and I just really wanted to say that always trust in God, always. Like, I kind of, even though I was stressed, I wasn't scared. So just wanted to share that.
Amen.
Oh, we got another one.
As some of you might know, my dad has been really, really ill for the last few months, and he's actually for the last month been in intensive care. And a few weeks ago, we genuinely thought we were going to lose him. But praise God, he's been brought through that, and he's now out of intensive care. And he's still very weak and needs a lot of rehabilitation, but it's a matter of time now with God's healing. He has been brought through this. And the best news of all is what got him into intensive care was, in the first place, he was having cancer surgery. And we got the news just a few days ago that the cancer surgery had been a complete success. Mm-hmm. And there is no more cancer. So I just want to publicly praise God and thank God.
Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you. Let's just all stand and just pray. Father, we thank you for what these guys have shared, Lord, that you are a personal God.
Yes.
And that you are interested in us personally, Lord, that sometimes we pray and you surprise us the way that you answer, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, we pray that today, Lord, you would work in our lives, Lord, that for each of us, we would hear something, you would do something, we would find some answer to prayer.